Tom Man, Tom Tom.
How you doing, Richard?
The Tomster, making copies, Mr. Tom.
Welcome back to the DFL Debrief. I am your host, Ken Martin, DFL Chair. With me, as always, is William Davis, the Davis Extraordinaire.
Hello, Ken. Hello, DFL fans. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Will, I see you are decked out in Wolves gear tonight. You got your hat on. You got your Naz Reid shirt on.
That's right.
And tonight, we're recording on Wednesday. Of course, tonight, the Wolves take on the Denver Nuggets. This will be a really critical game because whoever wins this game will be the number one seed in the playoffs, which start next week.
That's right.
So how are you feeling about their chances?
Great. Championship, here we come.
Wow.
Consider it done.
Wow. With us also, as always, Darwin. Darwin Forsyth. Communications director. You had a great trip out to Washington, D.C., I understand, visiting with some family. And
I brought the good weather back with me.
Thank you, by the way. We needed it. And I understand you saw the cherry blossoms, which I just love.
Barely, yes. They were clearly past their peak, but springtime in D.C. is the best season in D.C. Summer is miserable. Winter,
too many people. Way too many people in the summer.
Too many people. And also, if you're on a metro train and the AC goes out, which has happened to me a number of times, I think if, like, someone had told me you're about to die right now, like, in that situation, I would have been like, I'll take that.
And when Trump says drain the swamp, it's very literal, too, because there's an actual swamp. I mean, D.C. is in a swamp, and it's humid as hell in that city in the summer.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Now, I also shared with Darwin something that, thanks to Madison Groh and our many journeys over the last couple of weeks in the car, windshield time, I didn't know a song that I liked was an Olivia Rodrigo song,
yes.
Obsessed. And Madison said, you realize that's a Olivia Rodrigo song.
Yes.
And I said, I will have to tell Darwin I liked that song.
It's a fantastic song. It was one of her five on the Deluxe Edition album. And I'm glad to know that despite, as all of you said, I had to escape last week to avoid the constant bullying for my very popular opinion of thinking that Olivia Rodrigo is great. I'm glad that now I've infected another member of this podcast group.
Well, here. You know who's always got your
holdout?
Who's always got your back?
Madison.
Madison Groh.
Yeah.
She had to make sure that I knew that that was your favorite artist singing because I like the song. It
there
was good.
Aren't many people I like to road trip with and I can agree with music stations on. And honestly, it's probably Ken and Darwin.
There you
I told
go.
Ken that the next step is he's going to show up to his office next week and there's just going to be kittens everywhere.
That will never happen.
That is a no. I'm sorry if you like cats, but that is never going to happen.
You know, we could make that happen. That would
we
be
could
very
make
fun.
That happen.
Oh, my God. Madison Groh is also with us. Madison, welcome.
Yeah, I came back. I got tricked into it.
One more episode.
It's not hard to trick her, actually.
Yeah.
She falls for it.
I'm not bright.
Wow. No comment on either one of those statements. So
now, you two are going to be gone next week.
Yeah.
Chicago?
Well, most of our staff. Our ASDC, which is Association of State Democratic Committees, which I lead, as all of you in this room know, we're having our last in-person meeting for the year, actually, before the election in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it's a walk-through meeting where we'll be touring the convention sites, really just getting last-minute details made for all the state parties as they prepare for convention week, which is at the end of August in Chicago. So it's going to be a really busy week next week. I'm looking forward to seeing a number of my colleagues, of course. But the reason it's not just Madison and I going, it's all of our staff, most of our staff, I should say, because they will have a huge role to play in convention.
Sure.
When you worked here, Will, you remember what convention week is like. It's both fun and also the most painful.
I remember insofar as the brain cells that I did not kill that week remain in my head. But yes, I vaguely remember 2016.
Yeah, so. And I just tell folks all the time, it's so much fun. It's really one of the funnest weeks, conventions, but it's also the most exhausting. I think in a 7-day period, I probably got like maybe 14 hours of sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So this is actually something that I was talking about with Madison earlier, Ken, but is it weird preparing for you know, it's probably less weird for you. For me, it's a little weird preparing for a convention that I've never been to, given that no one has been to a Democratic National Convention since 2016.
Yeah, and you raise an interesting point, because I am now the second longest serving chair in the country at close to 14 years. Ray Buckley, the chair in New Hampshire, is the only one that served longer. And there's been such a turnover after the 2020 election. Almost 60% of our membership left after that presidential election. And then again in 2022, there was a huge turnover. So the reality is most of our, probably about 85% to 90% of our chairs, vice chairs, and executive directors, this is their first convention ever, first in-person convention for sure, but convention ever for most of them. And so it's really a learning experience. And that's why, again, we're bringing folks together in Chicago next week. Make sure there's a lot of, you know, responsibility for state parties as it pertains to their delegations that they're bringing to these conventions. And so it will be a good week, of course. Mm-hmm. It's an important week for us to just tie up the loose ends and get ready for convention week.
These meetings are so fun, too, because you just get to meet all the state party chairs and hang out with them. And it's kind of like, I don't know if Ken likes this analogy, but I always think of the ASDC as like a student council. And it's like we're all getting back together. And I really love those student council members. Yeah.
More vending machines for candy.
Yeah, exactly.
One of your many colleagues is going to be coming off a pretty busy week for them, given everything that happened in Arizona. Who's the chair of the Arizona?
Yeah, I just talked to her this morning, actually. Yoli Bejarano. She's wonderful. First term chair. She was elected last year. She used to be the national field director for the Communication Workers of America. She comes out of labor and just a real badass. She's a great organizer, and she actually now serves in leadership within the ASDC as our treasurer. And she's great. Just talked to her this morning because, of course, the news out of Arizona yesterday, which is just crazy to think about, that the Supreme Court basically there said that the 1864 ban on abortion would stand in their state. And it's a little crazy. I mean, I know the Republicans want to take us back, you know, 50-100 years, but, you know, the fact that a court agrees with them and has upheld this ruling is just yep. nutty. Now, I talked to her this morning. She said their phone's just been ringing off the hook. They've been raising lots of money. There's been a huge backlash. Even Republicans there, I didn't think that this was some Republicans, I should say, are trying to backpedal now and backtrack, much like the IVF stuff in Alabama, mm-hmm. right? Where, you know, I don't think Republicans realize that this is probably a step too far.
So as Ken said, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that a pre-statehood law, before Arizona ever became a state, they passed a abortion ban before the Civil War had ended, before Arizona became a territory. You know, banning abortion in pretty much every circumstance at pretty much any stage of pregnancy. There might
1864, be 1864,
right? Yes, 1864. So again, Civil War was still happening on the other side of the country when this law was passed, and all six judges are appointed by Republicans, 4-2 ruling to keep it. I will say I learned about this actually from, to their credit, the Arizona Democratic Party and the Biden campaign, mm-hmm. just to speak to how, you know, well organized they were. You know, one of my friends was a embed with me in the 2022 campaign on the New Mexico governor's race, Delaney, and I saw her coordinating a press conference time for that day. They clearly, unfortunately, were expecting this ruling to happen, and they were ready to go. And I think that the, you know, up and down the ballot from Trump down to these state legislators in Arizona mm-hmm. are panicking because, in no small part, because of their good work.
Yeah, and I don't know. This always brings me back to last cycle when your guy Scott Jensen Darwin kept saying that abortion is a settled issue. You know, whether it's here or nationwide, not true. There's always attempts at doing this kind of stuff.
Well, and, you know, I've talked about this in some of my speeches I give around the country, that, you know, the idea that folks said after the Dobbs decision that, you know, this was it, right? And yep. as people said, look, this is a precursor to them coming after contraception and after IVF. Republicans and other pundits would say there's no way that's going to happen, right? This is the extent of how right. far they're willing to go.
Because they didn't want to talk about it.
Well, by the way, that's not how far they're willing yes. to go. Look at what they're talking about around the country right now. They're not only trying to, you know, take away people's rights on in vitro fertilization. They're going after contraception. They're talking about full-on abortion bans, not just, you know, 15-week abortion or 6-week abortion bans, but full abortion mm-hmm. bans, right? The reality is that they continue to double down on extreme positions. So that old Maya Angelou quote, right, which is when people show you who they are the first time, believe them. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we expect anything different from these folks at this point? They are yes. the party that is coming. And make no mistake about this. This isn't about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, us three men in the room, I mean, Madison can attest to
high
this.
High five. Just kidding.
This is truly about subjugation.
Yep. Yes.
The issue of abortion rights has always been about subjugation, about men trying to put women in their place and tell them what they can do over their own bodies.
Yep.
And this goes back hundreds of years in this country.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Republicans now want to actually go back 100 and some odd years tells you everything you need to know.
Absolutely. And, you know, just not to belabor Ken's point too much, but here in Minnesota, we've seen this dynamic before. Like Scott Jensen, who for the last, you know, post-election has been evangelizing about how Republicans need to moderate on abortion, which is funny to all of us given his, you know, past comments on it. But he was like the person who injected this into the Republican
yep.
primary for governor. He was the one who was like, no exception for rape and incest. Mm-hmm. Like the day mm-hmm. the Dobbs ruling was leaked, he was like, we need to be pro-life, et cetera, et cetera. They pushed this as far as they can to win the Republican primaries, and I do think it's what they believe, and then panic the second they realize, oh, people were paying attention the first time.
No one supports this. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yes.
Yeah. And now we have the biggest backpedaler ever, you know, making his colors shown.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, I want to mention also in Arizona, it is illegal for a donkey to sleep in a bathtub. And that law is more recent than the Arizona law. So that should tell you something about the...
It's legal or illegal?
It's illegal for a donkey to sleep in a bathtub.
That doesn't make any sense.
1920s, that law was passed.
Poor donkeys.
And think about how much more relevant the past...
I want to go back to that moment when there was the debate on the floor about donkeys. This is a pervasive problem in our state. Right. We have too many donkeys sleeping in bathtubs. Yeah. We need to make it illegal.
I want like Pat Garofalo like talking on the Minnesota House floor about like how are we defining a bathtub? The government has no ability to define like how big a bathtub is. Does it have to drain water? What if it doesn't have it now?
And what kind of donkeys are we talking about? Are we talking about literal actual donkeys or yeah. just people who
what
are
what about
donkeys?
Mules? Do people know the difference between a donkey and a mule?
Yes, thank you.
That law is 80 years newer than this abortion law that they just held up in the court.
That is crazy. Well, speaking of, and I think Madison just mentioned yes. this, speaking of people trying to change their colors on abortion, Donald Trump has come out with some interesting statements in recent days here.
Yeah, he released a video on Monday on Truth Social, which is his lagging social media company.
He is selling it for $3 billion.
So. Did you see... upon the initial release, the stocks went crazy. And then once people realized how ridiculous it was, the sell-off has been miserable and they've lost so much
money. That's so funny.
Yeah, yep. I think smart people jumped on it early because they knew the cultists would buy, and then they probably sold it within the same
within
day.
Yeah. Day trading.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they probably made a ton of money off it. But so on Monday, he released a video advocating for state legislatures to be making the decisions on abortion, not Congress. And he said, my view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint. He's talking about Dobbs. Everybody wanted Dobbs, apparently, which is something to think about also. The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of land, in this case, the law of the state.
He, well, they asked him if a bill was put in front of him, if he sign a national abortion ban, and he said no. But reminder, listeners, Donald Trump's a dirty freaking liar.
He's on the campaign trail for a reason.
I don't think he did. Also, I think this is important. I don't think he did say that he would not sign national abortion ban. He just wouldn't say either way in his video whether he would sign national abortion ban. He's deliberately not closed the door on signing a Republican abortion ban at the federal level.
It wasn't too long ago when he put out a statement saying that he's taking credit for overturning Roe v. Wade.
Right.
Well, so now he realizes that there's such a backlash and a fear around the country on how extreme the Republicans are going on this. He's trying to change his tunes. And to Madison's point, he's just a goddamn liar.
Yeah.
What is it? Which one is it? Are you proud that you helped create the Dobbs decision and that you overturned Roe v. Wade? Or are you not and you want the states to decide, right? I mean, it's just the whole thing is goofy.
They want credit from their base and they want immunity from everyone.
Yes.
Well, that's a good way of putting it.
Right.
That's right.
I think it also comes down to he loves to confuse people. Like, he wants to make people confused. He wants to make people check out and not participate and not pay attention. So he's going to relay statements that contradict each other so that way people don't trust anything he says.
Knowing full well that our very partisan media landscape will report it very differently to the people who are listening to that particular side. One side won't believe he said this, one side won't believe that. And that, can you imagine some MAGA sitting around with a red hat thinking, you know, Donald's been really inconsistent on this issue. I'm going to start questioning his honesty. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
and he knows that very well.
It shows the importance, obviously, the stakes, the presidential and national elections. It also highlights, and I think we have other stats beyond just abortion, just the importance of like state level governments here too. Like, Will, I think you had some stats on Wisconsin versus Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is actually pretty interesting. A Washington-based nonprofit, the Economic Policy Institute, who I think it's traditionally are really amazing with the numbers they put together. It's pretty hard to question them. But they recently compared two states' economies, Minnesota and Wisconsin, since the 2010 election, which put Scott Walker as governor in Wisconsin and Mark Dayton as governor in Minnesota. And they basically just did a huge breakdown of those numbers. You guys ready for these numbers? This is awesome.
I also just love moments where we get a flex on Wisconsin.
I was going to say, anytime we can shit on Wisconsin.
Sorry, Ben Winkler.
And I found this.
There's no sorry.
Yeah.
What are you talking
he's
about?
Trying to make
it was a Minnesota sorry.
That's in your job description, by the way. Yeah. It's in all of our job description. Anytime we can shit on Wisconsin Ben Winkler.
That's
we
should.
What are you talking about?
I will deny this when we see him next week.
But so this is from the Capital Times, which is a Wisconsin outlet, and an op-ed writer who kind of broke this down. And it was literally, Minnesota is right, Wisconsin is wrong. Job growth in Minnesota since 2010 has grown 11% here compared to Wisconsin's at 7.9%. So job growth has been better despite all these Marxist policies, as Republicans like to think. Minnesota wages increased 9.7% compared to Wisconsin's 6.4%. So we're getting paid more in Minnesota.
Well, not me personally, but maybe you know.
You got to start skimming like Jennifer Carnahan did.
Wow.
Come on.
We've talked about this before. If I had that same rule in place of 10% of whatever I raised, I would have been a millionaire by now.
Yeah, you'd be retired. Your kids would be retired probably.
Household income in Minnesota jumped 8.5% since 2010. Wisconsin, 6.4%. The disparity between men and women's pay in Minnesota has fallen 3%. And Wisconsin has fallen half that, 1.5%.
We could get that 3% higher, though. Reminder.
Right. Also, union membership in Minnesota has fallen by 0.4% compared to, guess what this number is?
20%?
15.2% in Wisconsin, which is, you know, historically one of the states that you think of when you think of organized labor during those years. And Wisconsin workers under union contracts declined from 14.2% to 8.3%.
Well, and everything you're pointing to is what I've always said. Elections have consequences, both good and bad. You don't have to look too much further than the difference between these two states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. One election played a huge difference in where both states currently are at. And, you know, you mentioned labor as an example. I mean, the birthplace of Ask Me was in their first local was in Wisconsin.
That's right.
Was a great labor state. And the Act 10 that Scott Walker brought in decimated unions in that state and hurt working people and continues to. And so elections really matter. And I've said this oftentimes, you know, every election is the most important election because one bad person who gets into office can really screw things up
in
people's lives. And we saw that in Wisconsin. And I, as much as we like on people in Wisconsin, I'm certainly hopeful that Ben Wickler and his team can turn things around. They've been having a good string of success and chipping away on building some power back there. And because, you know, Wisconsinites deserve the same type of prosperity that we see in Minnesota, right?
Well, and they'll have new legislative maps soon, right, for the state legislature?
That's correct.
Yeah, which is always good.
Thanks to an election that the Democrats won last year, I believe.
Yes.
Which gave Democrats or liberals control of the state Supreme Court. Yeah.
We were there door knocking for Judge Janet. Yes.
It was fun.
I know there's a lot of numbers I'm throwing at you here. It kind of makes, you know, sometimes make my eyes roll, but I have two more good ones for you. Minnesota's GDP bested the nation's average in 2023. We were 2.2%, which if you're over 2%, you are kicking serious
ass.
Right. And it's crazy how that's happening because Republicans said all the job creators are fleeing the state. And so I don't really know how that's happening. Wisconsin, 1.5. And Wisconsin has twice the number of incarcerated citizens than we do. They have and they're spending tens of million dollars on its prison system, while here in Minnesota, that's not happening. So they're spending
more
money.
I think
that
might also have something to do with the fact that on every corner in Wisconsin, there's a bar. Well, and the rate of inebriation is pretty high.
That's actually very
bar
true.
And no public transportation.
Bar, Culver's, no public transportation. Yeah. It's incredible.
The last stat that I'll throw in here, though, is that just last week it was announced that we hit an all-time low for the uninsured rate here in Minnesota. We're now down to less than 4% of Minnesotans who do not have any form of health insurance. That is a huge difference from states like Texas and Florida with uninsurance rates are closer to 20 than they are to 4 or 5%.
Yeah, some numbers came out today from the Minnesota Department of Health. Minnesotans' uninsured rate is minuscule compared to many states, 3.8%. Compared to our neighbors to the east, Wisconsin, they are at 5%. Texas is over 15%, which is just crazy to think about, uninsured.
The reason they're at there, though, isn't just because of, you know, statistical variation. It's because Texas and Florida did not expand Medicaid. Like,
that's
the
right.
federal government was, here's a huge amount of money that you can use to give health insurance to, you know, your lower-income residents, and they were like, no screw them.
That's right.
Which is insane.
Well, again, I mean, the purism, the ideological extremes that the Republican Party puts themselves in to say, look, we're not going to do this because we don't want to acknowledge that the ACA is good and helping people. And so we'll screw our own people in the process. You now have 15% of Texans who don't have a health insurance and they can sleep well at night knowing that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I will say, you know, zooming out of partisan lens for a second, I mean, Minnesota is a state that's working. It's working for its people. I mean, we're paying people more. There's job growth in this state. It's one of the strongest economies of any state in the nation, right? We're taking care of our people, and we're not leaving people
that's
behind, right.
right?
We're educating them. We're making sure that kids get free lunch at school, right? We're making sure that every person in this state has an opportunity to succeed. And, you know, we have a long ways to go to even make it more perfect. But the fact that you're seeing these statistics points to the fact that these public policies that we pushed this last legislative session and for years before that under Governor Dayton are actually working.
That's right. Okay, I found these numbers I was looking for. Texas, 16.6%.
Jeez.
15.9% in Mississippi, 11.4% Georgia, 11.2% Tennessee, and 10.6% in Kansas.
Well, what do they all have in common except Kansas?
Republican states that did not expand Medicare.
And Republican governors.
Yes. Right. And Kansas, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they have a huge fight and they finally relented and took the Medicaid expansion? And like very recently, in the last year or two, I believe.
It was last year.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a huge public backlash about it. So, yeah. Crazy. I mean, good job on Minnesota. And like you said, there's a long way to go, but that's kind of the beauty of the trifecta. We're not resting on our laurels. We're doing even more.
And we're going to continue to push because we realize there, you know, there's still people that are being left behind, right? As much as we're passing good public policy, there's a lot more that we need to do as a state. But I am buoyed by the fact that as Republicans try to make this idea that, you know, these policies are going to be dangerous to a huge danger to our economy. Really?
Yeah.
Just the opposite, my friend. Yeah. Guess what? When you take care of people, our economy flourishes. So,
and
anyway.
You know who agrees? Basic numbers.
Yeah, basic facts. Yeah, bear that out. So with that, we're going to move on to You Betcha and OGs. And we're back with You Betcha and OGs. Darren Forsyth, who does your You Betcha for the Week go out to?
My You Betcha for the Week goes out to Minnesota GOP state legislators.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
It's rare that I give my You Betcha to Minnesota GOP state legislators, but they have made my job so fun and so easy these last few weeks. In the last few weeks alone, we have had Minnesota GOP legislators. We've talked about them calling female pilots stewardesses. We've got the Warren Limmer saying that we can't do safe storage of firearms because cows are going to trample your children into dust.
Terrifying.
Amazing.
Just late last week, we've got the like leadership, Republican leadership and Republicans in competitive districts. Jeff Dotsett, that's a shout out for you. Authoring bills about chemtrails. So
that's real though. That one's scary.
Yeah. Like, keep it up. Like,
seeding the clouds, stealing our water.
Exactly. giving Tim Walz the authority to, like, disregard the federal government, like, ground all airplanes. Like, guys, please keep it up. You're making my weeks here.
Awesome. And how about your OGs for the week?
My OGs for the week goes out to Tom Emmer.
Oh, geez.
Tom Emmer, like... Oh. There are many Republicans in politics who have like debased themselves, embarrassed themselves for Donald Trump. Tom Emmer might be like a contender for up there with Ted Cruz for people who have debased themselves the most for Donald Trump. Like this is a guy who like humiliated Tom Emmer for like the promotion and goal of his life.
Very publicly
made fun of him. And then when Tom Emmer came groveling to him the first time after that happened, told the press that he said about Tom Emmer, they always bend the knee. And no one has been more of a sycophant for him since. It's like...
They're all kissing the ring.
Exactly. I think it's humiliation kink at this point.
I wonder... I bet his like dogs don't even look at him. They're just like, no. Just like, oh, so you're pathetic.
My human is such an idiot.
Oh my God, that is crazy. All right, Will, how about you? Who does your You Betcha go to this week?
My You Betcha for the week goes out to the end of Ramadan.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Obviously, the holy month for our Muslim neighbors and friends. And I just want to say Eid Mubarak to all of them celebrating. And I believe it's Eid al-Fitr. Today.
It's the final Eid of Ramadan.
That's right.
Today.
My kids' school district had the day off today to celebrate, which I think I never got it as a kid. That's for sure.
Well, and the legislature, I think this is the first year that the legislature had both a Easter recess. And then they now have a recess for Ramadan.
That's awesome.
Today, and I believe, maybe it was yesterday and today, or today and tomorrow, I can't remember. Yeah. But and it's a reflection of the fact that our communities are changing, of course, and have been changing. And, you know, this is a significant high holiday Muslims here in Minnesota. And so it's great. Thank you.
You know, like, I would normally expect more Republican, like, performative outrage over this, but because they have the day off, they've been like quiet. Like maybe that's the trade we can do. Like maybe we can literally like
give them more days.
Give
off.
Them like paid vacation in exchange for non-passing stupid policies.
Not a bad idea.
Not the worst idea.
Exactly. How about your OGs, Will?
My OGs goes out to Rob Schneider.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's a blast from the past. Yeah. These two don't even know who Rob Schneider is.
I do not know who Rob Schneider is.
I was going to ask if you two knew who Rob Schneider is. Okay, so Rob Schneider went on Fox and Friends, which is just an incredible conversation.
He's a comedian.
He is a comedian.
He's in a lot of
He used to be on
movies.
SNL back
yes,
in the day.
Actually, to that point, I have an example of what people really enjoyed from Rob Schneider, also known as the Making Copies guy.
Tom Man, Tom Tom.
How you doing, Richard?
The Tomster, making copies, Mr. Tom.
That is his best thing he's known for. Also, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, right?
Yes.
Now, Fox and Friends brings him on as a Republican intellectual.
Oh, God.
And he started griping that the Republicans, he's mad at Republicans because they haven't impeached President Biden yet. For what, he can't quite say. And he also complained, or he also claimed that wokeness, quote, has to be close to collapse. It's about 12 to 18 months away from a total collapse. I don't know what that means. And then he endorsed RFK Jr. So what an action-packed appearance on Fox and Friends.
Can you imagine how excited Robert Kennedy is?
Bobby Kennedy.
I got Schneider's endorsement. I'm ready to go.
Not only he's actually performing at a RFK Jr. fundraiser. Well, so
I don't want to, this might hurt Ken's feelings because I know he's a fan of the show. Isn't RFK Jr. married to Cheryl Hines?
Yes, let's move on.
From Curb. Curb,
from
yes.
Curb.
Yes.
We're going to move on from that. Actually, she's done a lot to separate herself from his idiotic beliefs.
Oh, good. Cool.
Yes.
And she is great, by the way, on that show. The she's last episode was this week. It was great. Are you a Curb guy?
Oh, big time. You should know I watch your HBO.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's like constantly. Anyway, yes, Rob Schneider, Making Copies guy, OGs for them. Yeah. Actually, I almost gave an OGs to your ice machine here because once the building gets kind of busy, all the ice is gone in the first 10 minutes of the day, and the thing is so slow it doesn't make ice again. So I'm drinking plain water without ice.
That would have been a very
bonus OGs.
That's a very Curb Your Enthusiasm OGs.
It's like, take two cubes. You don't need more than two cubes.
Exactly.
Do you know how long it took us to get a toaster?
Get off my lawn, kids.
I know, and the only reason we got a toaster is because Madison brought one in.
Yeah. I didn't know you had one. I mean, 8 years at the very least to get a toaster.
Yeah, exactly. She waited until you left, and she's like, we got this now, guys. All right, we'll go on. Okay, Madison Grove. Who does your You Betcha go out to?
Yeah, my You Betcha goes out to women sports fans.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be lying to say I'm a sports fan, but I'm a fan of women and their interests if they're sports. Yes. And I learned this on Ken's Instagram story today, which he also made all by himself and did a very good job
Thank
of.
Thank you very much.
He added a song and a picture.
Wow. That is very strange.
Fun fact.
This is a great thing. Even a 50-year-old, much like a squirrel can, you know, like a blind squirrel can find a nut, as I always say, I was able to do an Instagram post.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Paige Beckers is my wife's cousin.
Why am I just finding this out now?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, you're fact, Madison Grow.
Oh.
As we're talking over you. Go ahead.
Classic.
High five, dudes.
Yeah. But 18.9 million people watched the women play, and 14.8 watched the men play.
And the championship. That's amazing, folks. It's great. Congratulations.
Ladies.
Our favorite Glenn Grunhagen was having an aneurysm watching that. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's very cool. I love it. We talked about it a little bit last week, and very cool to see that taking off.
Well, and one of the things, and I just posted this the other day because I was really excited about this, of the NCAA Division I women's all-tournament team. There were five of them, right? Two of the five were from Minnesota. 40%, it was, of course, Paige Beckers from UConn, and Tessa Johnson, who is a freshman at the University of South Carolina, the national champions.
She
was their
that.
Highest score in the championship game as a freshman. Last year, she was Miss Basketball for Minnesota, and she won a state championship for St. Michael Albertville.
Very cool.
She's amazing. She's just awesome. So congrats to Minnesota women's basketball, which was on full display in the women's tournament, and, of course, to women's basketball this year is a banner year. Madison, who does your OGs go out to?
My OGs goes out to people who think it's cool to not care about politics.
Oh, geez.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Well, I take that personally. Wow.
You don't care about politics, can I?
Never, no.
Well, so The Rock, this isn't, I'm not targeting The Rock, but The Rock made a statement that he wasn't going to put out an endorsement this year. He endorsed President Biden in 2020. I mean, we're up against the same people. We all know who you're freaking voting for. Mm-hmm. Just say it. And I'm kind of just sick and tired of people thinking it's interesting or cool to be like, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican.
I'm so edgy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, guess what? You just don't care about your neighbors.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Show up, vote, and actually show some interest. Like, I'm just really sick and tired of people acting like it's cool to not care about this stuff when they care about you and they're going to lead your life.
Right.
That's right.
Yet, you know, I find that those people are the ones complaining the most about government, too, and yet they decide to have zero input on it.
I always say to folks, you may not be into politics, but politics is into you. Mm-hmm. And so you better care because, you know, whoever's elected is going to have a huge impact on your life.
Right.
And so, yeah, thank you, Madison, for raising that up. As you can tell, we've probably been on the road too much with seeing a bunch of these bozos all around the country.
I'm bleeping Madison a ton today. This is exciting. Ken.
We need more feisty. So
your You Betcha for the week.
My You Betcha for the week goes out to 280 votes.
Oh, yeah. Betcha, yeah.
280
votes is the margin by which Attorney General Chris Mays, the Attorney General of Arizona, a Democrat, won by in her election in 2022. Why does this matter? 280 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God for Attorney General Chris Mays in Arizona, because she just said that she refuses to use her office to enforce the 160-year-old abortion ban, which we just talked about earlier. And that is critical, that her office is going to refuse to enforce that law, despite what the Supreme Court has said here. And I'm glad that she's standing up and pushing back. But again, for those who don't believe that elections matter, we were just talking about this, that elections have consequences, Chris Mays, 280 votes she won by, and she's a defender of, you know, abortion access and abortion rights in Arizona right now. So, again, please vote. Please get out and make sure you vote. You don't have to love the people running. You just have to love democracy and the rule of law and your individual liberties. Mm-hmm. So,
and I will say this, in my 8 years here, I've learned one thing, that when Dems are lazy, we lose, and when they're motivated, we win. Like, that is probably the simplest, biggest picture takeaway.
I'm going to use that.
I mean, I it's just the way it's worked every single cycle. So
that's exactly right.
Your OGs for the week.
Well, staying with Arizona, my OGs goes out to Carrie Lake.
Oh, geez.
Carrie Lake, of course, who was defeated last cycle when she was running there for office, former news anchor in Arizona. She's now running for the U.S. Senate. In 2022, she enthusiastically supported the 1864 abortion ban. But just yesterday, she tried to claim that she now opposes it. So, again, you know, these hypocrites, these people who say one thing and do another. The nice thing is, guess what? The internet's in the the webs live forever. And it's not that far to go back 2 years to find out how people feel about these.
I think a news anchor would know that.
She's really shaping herself up to be a good VP pick for Trump. Yeah. I mean, the same behavior.
That's
just completely lying about what you are on the record saying.
That's exactly right.
This is what happens when you have an NRSC handler that is like, okay, we just have to literally just try to post through everything you said in your previous elections.
It's crazy. Well, with that, we're going to come back with the facts of laughter.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of
Vlad. Vlad.
When the world never seems to be living up to your dreams, and suddenly you're finding out the facts of
Vlad.
Are all about you.
Minnesota's 9 original counties are Benton, Ramsey, Washington, Pembina, Dakota, Oneida, Makata, Itasca, and Wabasha. No Hennepin on there, folks.
When
Vlad.
Welcome back to DFL Trivia with your host, Kenneth R. Martin? J. Martin? I don't know. What is it?
It's N. It's N.
Kenneth N. Martin.
Nathan. It's a great middle name.
That's good.
Well, with that,
it's fine.
Thank you. Thank you for that very stupid fact. Let's move on with trivia, folks. I'm sorry to all our trivia fans that you had to go through that, so we blame Will. But last week's question was as follows. What year was the original 35W Mississippi River Bridge first opened for traffic? Now, the correct answer was 1967. And someone in this room astutely asked, what did people do to get across the river before then? Yeah. And none of us knew. So there had to be another bridge at some point before they put in the freeway system.
I assume they weren't Oregon trailing, fjording the river.
That's what I was assuming. They were swimming, they were paddling.
Right.
1967.
Did we ever figure that out, or is it still a mystery?
I assume they had smaller bridges.
There were bridges.
That's a pretty safe.
There were bridges.
That's
right. They just weren't free.
I feel like I figured that one out. Yeah, yeah. They were putting logs down and carefully driving over them.
There you go. The person who had the correct answer this week was Art K. Art K, congratulations. You are the lucky recipient of a $25 gift card to our online store. We are really excited about the merchandise that has just come out. Please visit the store, even if you didn't win a gift card here. Lots of great gifts that you could buy for people to proudly display your partisanship and your and the fact that you are a proud supporter of the DFL. www.dfl.org/store. See that great merchandise. This week's question is as follows. Again, staying with the Arizona theme. Arizona was not even a state when their 1864 abortion ban was passed. How many years after 1864 did it take for Arizona to become a state?
That's a very good question. I don't know it. Send in your answers, if you do, to podcast@dfl.org. Send them to Darwin. He loves to hear from you personally.
Always.
And please rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever the hell you listen to this thing. And thank you. We'll see you next week.
I'll tell you, it was one hell of a show.